I'm Red Bear.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And we're happy to be back. We do this show every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. Thank
every
you for
Wednesday.
Joining
we're
us.
Always here for
this
you.
This is the show where we talk about geek and nerd stuff, and we just really geek and nerd out all hour.
It's pretty much the best job ever.
It
honestly.
Really is. I wish we got paid for it. That'd be awesome.
Instead of, we're stop just, reminding me. I was living in Fantasyland for a bit.
Instead, we're just your EP landing it. No, we talk about geek and nerd stuff, movies, games, reviews, news, and all the these cool releases. We are online. We have websites and stuff. What's that website?
ExpPoints.com. Double tap the P.
We also on Facebook, Facebook.com/ExperiencePoints. We got Twitter.com/EXP_points. Apparently, I've heard you could just follow us at EXP_points.
Yeah, you can.
This is new to me. We're also,
really?
Yeah, no, really? Not really. Not really. I'm just doing it for the show. I'm doing it for you guys.
Wow. Don't believe a word he ever says.
We're also on YouTube. You can check out a lot of cool videos that we post. YouTube.com/TheExpPoints channel. And you could also check us out on Google Plus, but that's way too long. If you'd like to check us out on social media or YouTube or things like that, I guess YouTube sort of is a social media now.
Yeah, it's in agreement with Google Plus because they're forcing us to.
I think it's the reverse way. Like, I made YouTube and it's like, here's a Google Plus. I'm like,
anytime you do anything with Google, you get Google Plus.
Right, like I didn't want the Google Plus.
No one did.
And they're like, well, you have it anyway, so everyone you might want to use it. Anyway, if you want to look all that stuff up, go to exppoints.com. Remember to double tap that P. Scroll
always
to the very bottom of that page and click on all the little buttons, and it'll take you to places and stuff, and it'll be great. We are going to intro with a song real quick. We're going to come back and tell you what we did last week since you were out of our lives
of
for
our
a week.
Lives.
We
were back into your lives.
We were in our lives for a
I'm
week.
I'm in my life 24/7.
And that, yes, that is a fact. Maybe.
Yep. I mean, sometimes I'm in Azeroth. Sometimes I'm in...
You're in the League of Legends. You're
sometimes
in the,
I'm
you're
League
in the,
of Legends.
What it's called, the Phantasm. This is the Massacre by Phantom NK. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
Experience Points.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm still Red Bear.
That was The Massacre by Phantom NK. Some new stuff on Experience Points. If
you like it.
If you haven't checked us out, you know, we've been playing...
I'll check you out.
We've been playing some new stuff. Every week we've been playing new music, so you're welcome. We haven't received any emails or Facebook posts saying thank
you. Or cease and desist.
But, well, we haven't... cease and desist from the east and the east. Anyway... We appreciate everyone that's listening right now, and if you'd like
that's
to tell
nonsense.
Us that if you'd like to appreciate us appreciating you, you can send us emails at mg@expppoints.com. Separate, not together. Really? MG and Red Bear, just MG or I guess MG at
Experience Point Red Bear.
Yeah, it's separate. It's
not as difficult as you're making.
What did you do this weekend?
I do this week. Oh well, you know what happened.
I do know what happened.
You know what happened.
What tell everyone else?
Oh, Gabe happened.
Oh, Gabe
happened everywhere.
So the
Steam
summer
sale is on.
Yeah.
So we are all broke, and our libraries are now full of games we're never gonna play.
Yeah, I. You know, it's that time of the year.
It's such a good, horrible, terrible feeling.
There's two times a year that I get disappointed in my life. I look at Steam calculator, I type in my profile, and I realize I spent $3,400. I think it's like $34.11 and like 92 cents on video games via Steam. Now, I didn't pay that. Let's get that straight. I didn't pay that.
Yeah, right. Because, I mean, half of those $20 titles you paid $1 for.
Right. And those are from sales, holiday sales and summer sales. So, I mean, I haven't paid that much, but that's how much they're worth now.
Right.
And I haven't played 92 of those games. But consider this, 92 games, that's like 35-36% of my games. Let's do the math on that. I don't want to do the math on that.
I'm getting depressed already.
I own a ton of games.
The only time I was more depressed was when I did this last time in WoW.
Oh, yeah. And you saw how long you were playing.
Yeah.
You know what? This is my second account, and I know I think I played more on my first account.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, because I was in high school, and I was straight out of
what
high
school. What else are you going to do?
I was straight out of high school, and...
Yeah. I've been doing that, playing WoW. And actually, this time I'm back in WoW again.
Yep.
They added the critter system.
Yeah.
For, like, the Pokemon
battles.
Fights. And, like, that's half of what I do, I'll be honest.
I'm rolling. The cool thing is it's account bound, so I'm rolling new characters to play with you guys. And, like, I'm like level 10 or 11 or whatever, and I'm fighting all of these pet battles that normally I would have missed out on because I was already level. So now
when you have that.
I rolled a Draenei Shaman and then a Night Elf, probably a Night Elf Mage or a Night Elf priest. I can't remember. It's a giant elf druid. I rolled a druid and I found out like all my little pet critter dudes that I had. They came with me.
Yeah, and I actually discovered that because I hadn't logged on.
And that's
forever.
Not new. That's just new to us.
Yeah, that's new to us. Yeah,
and that's pretty
we've been cool. I've been out a while for a hot minute there.
A hot minute. A warm couple of seconds.
You're warm. And then the other thing I did that wasn't video game related, because there are other geeky things besides video games, Matt. Believe it or not,
like Tron, like the
like
books.
Tron. And books. Yeah, books. You hit it on the head. Someone let me loose in a bookstore, and I spent all the money I was going to give Gabe on books.
Nice.
So the current read is Echo Rising, which takes place in futuristic London. And like everything that takes place in futuristic London, it's a dystopian. Well, it's actually kind of a utopian thing. Anyway, quick rundown. Echo is like... So everyone, like modifications, body mods, and technology integrated into you, that's commonplace.
Right.
Think very Deus Ex.
Okay.
Okay. Echo is an individual who has like modded himself like crazy. So he's basically a robot at this point.
He can ping the moon.
Yeah, he can ping
the moon. I don't even know what I mean by that.
I don't know what you mean. Maybe there's a server on the moon, and he sends out his Wi-Fis and pings it. Anyway.
he downloads GBs and GBs of data.
So he's a criminal, and he takes on jobs, whatever. And I haven't got too far into it. Apparently, this mission I'm reading currently goes terribly wrong, and something happens.
Something. Not to foreshadow, but something. There's there's a plot in this story.
So, yeah. Stay tuned for more.
Well, that's good. I've been playing a little bit of games on Steam sale. I bought, against my better judgment, I did buy...
Little Kitty Island Adventure?
No, Galactic Annihilation or whatever.
Planetary Annihilation. I'm sorry. I'm away from the mic.
It's probably sounding crazy. The big thing about that is, you know, I played a lot of Total Annihilation and Total Annihilation, the Kingdoms pack.
Yeah.
Supreme Commander. Even Supreme Commander 2.
Well, the thing with Supreme Commander is the multi-monitor support is perfect.
Right. It's made by someone who's like, oh, I played games and I really wish it had this thing. Oh, I'll just make the game have this thing. So
I can do that.
Planetary Annihilation. You know, it's an open alpha, early access, or whatever. And I'm getting a little tired of this. Really is like the generation of early access where you have such an easy distribution system like Steam or whatever, where you can demo your games. I'm not tired of it because like Space Engineers, I love playing Space Engineers even in its open alpha state. Same with Prison Architect, I love playing Prison Architect, and I've seen it grow, and I've had to adapt to the different changing rule sets or whatever. And it's just like whenever they balance your game, you know, when they balance an MMO or whatever, it's like an alpha that's never complete. You know, there are bugs in it, and they patch them out every Tuesday for 5 hours when you really want to play.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm not particularly enjoying Planetary Annihilation yet because it's so different, and I didn't have a lot of time to, like, get the curve, like, learn the learning curve. But, I got that. We're going to talk about it later in the show, but I bought Duke Nukem Forever. I've played it and beat it when it first came out. It's been over 3 years. It just turned three. 3 years old, which means that it's 15 years.
It's actually been released for 3 years.
Right. It came out, I think, June 10th or June 11th, 2011. So we're going to talk about that later, about development cycles of games and stuff. But played a little bit of Duke Nukem. And to kind of, I guess, round out the end of this segment, not that it's the end of this segment yet, but I actually beat System Shock 2. I've been playing it for a little while, off and on. And I plan on beating it again but I love it. Like, I liked Bioshock, and I liked Bioshock Infinite. I didn't really like Bioshock 2 too much.
No, well, Bioshock 2 was just,
it fell flat for me, but System Shock...
Well, I think it fell flat for a lot of people.
System Shock 2 was such a good game when I played it a while back. You know, I think I probably played it back in 99 when it came out, and I just remember really enjoying it. I played it again. I'll probably replay it with some mods because I played it straight. Like, I played it with
Vanilla
System Shock 2 from Steam, and it's available. So if it comes up, it's probably on sale for like a couple bucks.
It was on sale.
You need to download it if you need to buy it. It's really one of those games where if you haven't played it, you've missed out on one of the gems of like the early video game generation. I don't mean it's like super retro, even though it is our retro game today or this
today,
week.
Yeah.
This week, but. And
Release date was 1999, by the way.
Yep. So August 11th. But yeah, so I did all that. I played all those games, things, and then I did something super mega geeky, and I started a project that you and I have been wanting to start for a long time. I've laid the groundwork. You don't even know about this.
Okay, right now, currently, as we record this, System Shock 2 is on sale for 60% off at $3.99 on Steam.
Yeah, $3.99. Honestly,
don't know how long that's going to last, so get out there, buy it.
Even at $10.
Yeah, $10 is full price. Glad you can do math.
Even at $10, I know it was real simple. Even at $10, though, I think it's worth it.
3 hours played. Wow, cool.
It's for you.
Yeah.
You haven't beaten it. I know it took
I beat it before Steam was a thing. Yeah. In 1999, I beat it.
Whenever they had these things called CDs.
Flappy discs.
So
they weren't even flappy.
You don't even know about this yet.
No, I don't know.
But we've
about
talked
this.
About it. And,
so you started it without
me. And I've started it.
I'm upset at you. I don't even know why.
Well, you're not going to be upset because, Alin, going and laying the groundwork for this is kind of annoying. And we still need to discuss
the
stuff.
Annoying part. I like that.
But I started building a video game. And it's the Experience Points video game.
Oh my gosh!
And we
next step con.
We are gonna do a little bit more on this, but if you've ever messed with the Unity engine,
yes, I have.
The Unity engine is a fantastic engine that I've been playing around with SDL, and I've been playing around with a couple different game engines. There will be sort of a progression thing once both of us start working on it and doing some stuff with it. We'll have like dev diaries, I guess.
Dev diaries.
We'll be a real studio.
Wow. Oh, we should do a Kickstarter.
We may. It depends.
Indiegogo.
I am bad at, I realize I'm bad at pixel art, and I want this to be sort of a 2D, the best of 2D games.
Wow, we can crowdsource this.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We're going to cut to a break real quick and come back and do System Shock 2, but during the break we'll discuss it and we'll see how much we want to talk to you about it, because that may be part of our end part of the show. So this what? Is I
Does
Lead...
Does he ever make sense?
Huh? What?
What?
I make sense.
Go ahead and bring in the new song. We don't make sense.
The new song this week is I Lead the League of Legends by Dan Bull. If you listened last week, we played And the Songbird Sings. It was a Bioshock Infinite remix from or mixed by Dan Bull. This is, of course, a League of Legends mixed by Dan Bull. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was I Lead the League of Legends by Dan Bull. I'm really into Dan Bull. He's got an awesome... He's like British, I guess, or New Zealander.
Not American.
He's not American, or he's doing a really good British accent, but he's got he's got this British rap going on for a lot of video game stuff. We're going to try to bring more of Dan Bull to Experience Points. But we are going to talk about System Shock 2. Barry, you said that System Shock 2 came back in 1999.
It is
awesome and
terrifying,
and it is a horror. Yeah, I guess it's like the best way to describe it is like a sci-fi RPG FPS horror game.
The engine it's built in is even called Enhanced Dark Engine.
Yep.
So it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. No, it came back in August 11th, 1999, to the North American continent. It was developed by Irrational Games and Looking Glass Studio. If Irrational Games sounds familiar, and Ken Levine, which
does.
Was the designer of that and the
also
writer
familiar.
Of that, sound familiar?
Yeah.
You may have heard of this guy and this
you
team.
You may have.
They did Bioshock.
What?
One, two,
someone who
Infinite.
Did System Shock did Bioshock?
I know.
Weird.
I know. Let's just go ahead and take you in to what System Shock is. This is a game where you are on board the starship the Von Braun, escorted by the UNN Rickenbacker. You are on a mission to explore the vast reaches of outer space, of outside space.
And unfortunately, you're not with Captain Picard, or else this would be much easier.
Space.
The final frontier.
So this game, you wake up. You're a marine, or
you're a marine who's sleeping.
You're a guy who's sleeping. Who knew? You go through this tutorial stage. That's kind of neat. You build up skills based off of a really quick 3-phase, just choose your door type of tutorial.
Yeah. So you kind of build your character during this tutorial.
You do. You find what's going to give you more endurance or more psychic powers. It's called Psi.
You put your alignments in, like which corps you're going with,
right,
as far as military and stuff like that.
And so sometimes it's get better. You get better with handguns, or you get better with like magic, science magic. It's called Psi, psychic powers. And then other times,
I like science magic better.
You have hand-to-hand combat or whatever. Anyway, you build your stats through these really just four choices. It's the type of branch you're going to go in, and then it's the three different 3-year mission or 1-year missions that you go on. So 3 years after you technically start the game, you go to the Rickenbacker as you just put on the Rickenbacker. That's your final mission for your 4th year of your deployment. And
yay for 4-year deployments.
You're put in cryo, and then when you wake up, all hell's broken loose.
You sleep a lot.
Yeah, you do sleep a lot.
You sleep more than Master Chief.
You wake up. Everything has... Master Chief does sleep a lot.
He does. That. Space Marines sleep a lot. Maybe, I'm going to Space Marines as soon as they're a thing.
You could just nap all the time.
Yeah, just nap all the time.
Cold nap. Anyway, so you find out when you wake up or when you get woken up that everything's a mess, that the AI...
That's the downside to being a Space Marine. Every time someone wakes you up, everything's a mess.
You have to fix everything.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to fix this thing now that I can go back to sleep.
Why is everyone dead?
So yeah, you wake up, you find out Xerxes, not the guy from 300, but Xerxes, the onboard AI, has gone nuts, and there are these infected things, like turned crew members running around everywhere, and through the help of a scientist lady, you find your way through the ship, and you make your way, and you try to like recover the Von Braun, help the Von Braun,
but you're fighting the AI the whole time,
right? It's only towards the end of the game that you, I guess really towards like maybe 75% of the game completed, that you find out that the chick you've been talking to the entire time, she's been dead. And
spoilers, man.
It's been, no, it's fine. If you spoilers. Haven't been spoiled yet, you'll enjoy this. There's this AI that's been like kind of pitching you in every direction. You know, she's been telling you what to do.
Of course, if you played a Bioshock game, you kind of get this idea of something like that.
You get the feeling. It's the same game. Like, again, Bioshock is the spiritual successor to System Shock 2.
Right.
And but I'll say this. Shodan is so... That's the name of the AI from the first System Shock and the ringleader kind of AI from the second one. Shodan is such a good bad guy. Such a good boss. Such a good, scary, propellant of the character. And I think they did such a masterful job of kind of orienting the player. Now, this game is unforgiving. You will have a gun, and you'll be like, yeah, take these anti-personnel rounds. And then you'll run into anti-personnel rounds. So you're like using your standard bullets, and you're using those, and you're like, you're out of those. And now you just have like armor piercing, but you're firing at fleshy things. So maybe you're like, that's fine. I could still take them down. As soon as you really need that weapon, the weapon jams. And it's like, bang, bang, click. And you have to run around with your menu open while avoiding enemies and, like, try to repair while hacking your weapon back together. It's awesome.
Remember when games were hard?
This game is not an easy game. Even on easy, it is not an easy game. Be willing to say this was one of the pinnacle achievements in game development, where we were able to get the FPS RPG at a perfect balance, I feel.
I could agree with that.
You had limited inventory. And you had to manage your inventory, but it didn't feel like a chore like it did in like Resident Evil or something. It was this really awesome kind of composition of fantastic storytelling that was at your own pace, more or less. There wasn't like some goofy timer or whatever like there were in some other games back in the day. And you were able to find these logs, these like little mini discs that you were able to play and listen to.
And I love that mechanic in games.
Well, yeah, because
I'm in for story. I know a lot of people aren't. They're in for the mechanics of the gameplay or whatever. I love story.
This is all
why I like books.
This is all about the story.
Yeah.
And this is right up there with William Gibson's Neuromancer. This is right up there with Snow Crash.
Oh, God, I love Snow Crash.
This is right up there with some of the best
storytelling.
Some of the best
ever.
Storytelling up there. Now, the Dark Engine has
darkness.
Had a lot of problems. It was actually unfinished when they shipped it. So they had to like patch it. Which wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big thing, rather, back in the day. You just didn't patch
everything.
I'm
about to say, we patch things every Tuesday now.
Right, right. In fact, the demo was released, and 9 days later, the actual real game was released, and they patched everything in. So that was kind of neat. But no, System Shock 2 has a cult following. It is ridiculous how big
very
this game
cyberpunk-y.
Is. 92% from game rankings, 92 out of 100 out of Metacritic. All Game has it. I think it's 4 out of 5 stars. I may be reading that wrong. Computer and Video Games, 9.5 out of 10. 8 out of 10 from
Everyone
Edge.
Loves the game.
Everyone loves it. Game Revolution, get this, even gave it an A. So when you got an A, when you stop doing stars and numbers and
get letters.
You just got A's. Now, the game engine has aged a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, from 99 to 2014.
You know, I'd be willing to bet you play Bioshock, like, one, and you're like, man, this is so old.
The water still looks amazing.
Yeah, the water does look pretty
amazing. Was like, that was their focus
fire,
on that
engine. And the fire.
Yeah, but on that engine, I remember them talking about the water, and I remember staring at the water going, that's good water.
Yeah, that's some good... You know what? You're the guy that would have appreciated the box art for Alone in the Dark for the PS3.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Alone in the Dark for PS3, it's like a gut-ripping action and suspense in this horror genre-defining game. And then the second one is like, most realistic fire in a video game. And you're like... Why are you trying to sell me on realistic fire?
Because it's realistic fire. You don't get it.
My whole pitch for the game engine being an aged game engine, that doesn't mean it's a bad game, but it is hard to look at. But there have been several dedicated modders and modding community. They've updated the graphics. They've had the shock texture upgrade pack, the Shut Up, which is the acronym. Shock In, which is a level editor. And they actually repackaged Looking Glass Studios' own editor into the Shock Ed. There's just a ton of ways of updating this game. It's not just the textures. It's the polygon models, everything.
To make it look a little bit better. To make it look a little better.
Kind of bring it up a little bit.
Kick it up a notch.
We kind of skipped this, but the psychic powers that you had in the game, those are effectively, those are like plasmids from the BioShock series.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if we went over that.
No, we didn't. But I mean, if... It's honestly, Bioshock's a spiritual successor, so you can make a lot of connections.
Yeah, if you play Bioshock first and then you play System Shock 2...
You'll get the connections.
I would say System Shock 2 is way harder, but you'll definitely see where it came from.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Bioshock was, it wasn't so much that it was hard. Well, I mean, it was hard. Like, you would die, but you would just come right back.
Well, you could. It depends. You have to... Well, no, didn't you have to activate the thing first? Or if you just had to see it?
You just had to see it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
or maybe you had to activate, but still, like,
System Shock
2, you know there's going to be a Big Daddy coming up.
System Shock 2 had that. So you had, it's like the hologenic recombinator or whatever, and you would like have to turn it on. But the problem is, if you were in an area that didn't have one, you didn't spawn back at the one where you did.
Right.
You just didn't respawn. You had to load the game up from the last save point. And it didn't automatically save very often. It only really saved whenever you walked through.
Yeah, autosave's a newer thing, actually.
Right. So, it had autosave, but the autosave was like, save when you open a big door.
Right. Well, that's what they used to be. Now it's like, zones. Save every time you do anything.
Right.
Looking at you, Skyrim.
You moved your mouse. Save the game. But System Shock 2, fantastic game. If you have a chance during the Steam sale, go ahead and pick it up.
Definitely. Again, that's worth your $3.
It's one of those things, like, if I was a little more vain and I was into dating super geeky girls, I would be like, have you beaten System Shock 2? And if she was like, I didn't really like it, that would be it.
Oh, sorry, honey.
I'll drop her off, maybe, you know, at that point. The date's over.
I mean, I'll buy her a cab, I guess.
I guess. We're going to buy a cab in Hammond. Anyway, that's System Shock 2.
Get to walking.
We are going to hit up another song. This is Milky Ways by Boss Fight. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Milky Ways by Boss Fight. It's the main section of the show where we're going to talk about some really cool stuff. Over the Steam sale, I did buy another game. I forgot about it earlier.
You'll forget about it again and never play it.
Well, maybe. Yeah. It's from an indie game studio called Greenlight Games, or Greenheart Games, I can't remember. It's called Game Dev Tycoon. And you may have seen it.
I saw that. I did not pick it up, though.
I picked it up because it was cheap, and I got a summer trading card from it. So that helped me in life somehow, I believe. Anyway, I'm playing it, and the whole premise of this game is that you start in a garage in the 80s developing a game as a one-man indie game developing studio. And you have to pick combinations. You don't have many to choose from. You have to pick combinations of topic, genre, or topic, game type. So like a horror RPG. A vampire action game. The type of platform.
Vampire Space Marine.
The type, well, they may have that. I've only played like 3 or 4 hours in the game. It's essentially like a game development simulator, which is kind of ironic that you're playing a game to simulate building games. But
you just build games.
And you pick the platforms. There are licensing costs. There you can get staff members. You can get publishing deals. You can market things. You can go to G3, games instead of E3. It's very, very, very tongue-in-cheek humor, and I really like it. They make fun of things like the Sega Dreamcast, which is – you know, we actually have a big show coming up in September. Mark your calendars. It's going to be a big 15th anniversary of the Dreamcast coming out in
September. I love the Dreamcast.
And unfortunately, Dreamcast, it came out on September 9th. This is a super mega tangent. September 9th, 1999, I believe.
Yeah.
Or 2001. No. You what is it? 1999? Yeah, 1999, because 15 years. September 9th this year is going to be like the PS4 Destiny bundle. So it's going to get overwritten, I feel. But we're not going to cover that. We're going to cover as closely as we can. We're going to cover the Dreamcast.
September 9th, 1999.
This year of our 1999. Anyway, so Game Dev
Tycoon. Of our Lord Gaben.
Of the Sega. So yeah, they have a lot of really funny things in Game Dev Tycoon, but something that I was thinking of as I purchased Duke Nukem during this Steam sale, and again, like I said, I've beaten Duke Nukem when it was new. I did not buy
it. He's referring to Duke Nukem Forever.
I borrowed the game from someone. I played the game throughout, and I was at the time heavily, heavily disappointed.
Well,
and, yeah. And I realized the reason I was disappointed, as was so many other people, was because that after 12 years of development, and they even make fun of it, the very first thing you hear Duke Nukem say, as the real Duke, not the game Duke in the game inside the game, dog.
Okay.
So the very first thing Duke Nukem says is, you know, after 12 years, it better be. When the girls in the room are like, was it good for you? And he's like, yeah, but after 12 years, it better be. So they made that joke, and then the game proceeded to crush any ideas of what you thought the game should have been.
Yes, it did. It was terrible.
It was like irrelevant. It was a game that unfortunately was irrelevant when it came out. And maybe it was awesome. Whenever it was, you know, if it would have
12 years ago.
Yeah, if it would have came out in, you know, 2001,
yeah,
2002,
maybe.
But it came out in 2011, and it wasn't a fun game anymore. But after playing a little bit, I think I played 2 hours since I bought it yesterday or 2 days ago. After playing a little bit in it, I realized that, you know what, there's nothing really inherently wrong about this game, that if it wasn't Duke Nukem, if it was Serious Sam, which is essentially Duke Nukem clone ripoff, you know, Deluxe 9000, if it was Serious Sam, which they can churn out a new Serious Sam, the story doesn't matter. We don't have a huge expectation about it, and yet the gameplay is still fun. It's still great. I mean, QuakeCon in 2009. You and I both, and a few other friends, we all played some Serious Sam.
That we did.
We got the game there and played Serious Sam HD, and it was awesome. So the whole reason why I didn't enjoy Duke Nukem initially was that...
Managed expectations.
Right. It was expectations, and they fell short. And on the other side of things, it was a brand new game that they were trying to sell and market for $55 on every console and PC and whatever. And I'm curious about games that have an extended development cycle. Since we were talking about early access games, you know, would Duke Nukem maybe have succeeded if you could have played the early access version of the game as it was being developed? Maybe it doesn't work as a first-person shooter. Maybe it works better as kind of a sandbox sort of thing, like Prison Architect, Space Engineers, Galactic, or Planetary Annihilation. You know, you're not getting any story there. You're getting the engine, you're getting the mechanic the game, or mechanics of the game, but you're not getting the actual story. So, for instance, like if Half-Life 3 has been in development, we hope, for a long time.
We're just assuming it's in development.
Right. Or Portal 3 or, you know, whatever. You've got all these games that are awesome, awesome games that we hope are being developed, but we wouldn't want to see those games early. I know I wouldn't.
No, I would not.
I would rather wait the entire time not knowing
anything. I have mixed feelings on early access to games because the idea of being there with the devs and being able to kind of guide and give feedback is really cool. But at the same time, I feel like by the time the game comes out, I've been playing it for months or even years.
Right.
And it's old now.
Yeah, and things have changed. Starbound did that whenever I was playing Starbound, which is like Space Terraria, almost completely Space Terraria. Anyway, I was playing Starbound, and I lost my map several times. Minecraft did that. Whenever they were doing the dev builds of Minecraft, I routinely would spend way too much time. I don't want to admit how much time.
We don't want to talk about that.
But I'd spend tons of time building up, you know, MG Mansion Deluxe, and only to have the map get reset or the map get the entire map format get changed in the next build iteration. And I lost everything, and yeah, it frustrated me a couple times. Now, it was cool if they put in a goat or a flower or a new tree, you know, and I understand what early alpha is supposed to mean, but there are some things, you know, like I think it hurts the game. Case in point, Banished. If you haven't played Banished on
Steam,
play
Banished.
Banished is awesome. It's a great game. I loved playing Caesar 3. Not Caesar 4 so much, by Sierra Interactive, but I love playing Caesar 3. It's a city builder, and it's awesome. It's resource management and stat management and mitigation of disasters, and it's like what SimCity used to be and should be again, mm-hmm. but isn't, unfortunately.
It's also on sale currently at 25% off.
Who, SimCity 4?
No, Banished.
Or Banished? Yeah, Banished is pretty awesome.
Although I don't recommend going under 60% on Steam sale.
No, you go 80. You go 80 or 75. Anyway, so, you know, Banished has a ton of problems with it because it's getting built. It's routinely getting, and the development cycle is slow. It's very slow on that particular game. But take Space Engineers. They're every 2 weeks, they're changing something. I mean, drastic. They're adding motors and rotors and welding machines and, you know, merge blocks so you can disconnect and build ships from several different replacement parts and piston doors and all this crazy stuff. And there's the workshop. So you're seeing what other creative people that have way too much time to spend on it can do. Mm-hmm. And you can just play with their stuff.
More than you do.
Yeah, you can play with their stuff, wreck their ships, reload and wreck it again. So, you know, if we would have had early access to Duke Nukem as an engine, like, as I say, a Capture the Flag or a Team Deathmatch-style multiplayer engine, then maybe it wouldn't have felt like such a letdown.
I will say, I think that Duke Nukem's an argument for early access, especially whenever you start realizing this game isn't coming out anytime soon.
No.
Because, I mean, they had meetings. They realized that was happening.
Yeah, I think I remember in 2005...
Giving someone something is better than nothing.
I think in 2005 they released, like, a video. And that 3D Realms, when it was still 3D mm-hmm. Realms, they did this tongue-in-cheek, like, it'll be ready when it's ready or whatever. You know, something like that. And it was an engine. I remember they had the general guy, and there was a missile being shot up. And it was this... It looked like the Half-Life 1 engine, honestly. It wasn't...
Right.
It wasn't a pretty-looking engine in 2005. The Half-Life 1 engine aged okay, but, you know, I wouldn't say Half-Life 1 looks beautiful today. No. Half-Life 2 still looks great.
Although, if you want to play Half-Life 1, I recommend the Black Mesa Project.
Black Mesa Project is what you would play, yeah. But, I mean, in 2005, using an outdated-looking engine with... At the time, you know, I would even say in 2001 or 1998, whenever Duke 3D was still kind of a thing and people were playing it, you know, pretty religiously, all of the little tropey things that you did in the game, like, and Duke Nukem was famous for creating them, you know, give right. strippers money so that they would, you know, shake the pixelated boobies around, get, you know, find certain
yep,
little Easter eggs, look in the mirror and see the actual
which
pixel
was
back you.
Awesome.
That's something I want every game to do. There's no reason for you to have just this opaque mirror or a window.
You're actually right. That's
you.
A big thing that they still don't do much anymore.
Right. And they do it. They cut corners. Everyone cuts corners. But Duke Nukem did it in Duke 3D, and they do it in Duke Nukem Forever. And it's fine that you have all those cool things. But for all the cool things, for the fact that I can play pinball inside my Duke Nukem Forever game, I can play right. pool and bowling inside my Duke Nukem Forever game, I could humiliate my enemies, I could execute
well,
my
the
enemies.
The new GTA game you can basically just live in.
Right, right. Like, if I didn't have to sleep in real life, I would just sleep in GTA.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like extended development games, you know, and I agree with you, Duke Nukem Forever is a good kind of poster child for something that should have been or could have been early accessed. And if it would have been early accessed at the right time, and maybe the problem was we didn't have a good distribution system at the time.
Maybe. I mean, that was a
I mean, Steam,
while back
I,
at this point.
I created my Steam account whenever Half-Life 2 came out, and that was yep. 10 years ago. I created it 10 years ago and some change.
Is a true story.
It, you know, even then,
that's
Steam,
come so
I, don't,
far.
I don't know if you realize how bad, I don't know, yeah, I know you remember.
I remember.
For,
I remember
for,
the
for,
dark.
For the listeners at home,
the
Steam,
dawn
Steam was
of the
horrible
new age.
Early on. Steam was bad. We talk about how bad Origin is now. Origin isn't bad at all compared to how Steam used to be. There's so much ground that they broke, and it was, and there were computers that they broke and games that they broke, and if you didn't have any internet to, you know, validate your game key, then you weren't able to play, and it was just all of this messy stuff. The UI, even, it had it green.
I remember the green. I remember so. I remember the previews for what they have now.
Yeah.
The screenshots.
Yeah.
Just being so excited.
It was.
You don't even know the library tab.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
It was bad, and we've come a long way. And I feel like maybe through the advent of a digital distribution system like Steam, where developers can continuously patch and update and throw out betas. Now they have betas built into Steam, so you can sign up for betas. I actually have the Banished beta that before it goes into Steam Early Access, I can get the new version, and it's like even buggier. But I can test it if I care enough, you know, and give feedback. Maybe the pipe wasn't there, the avenue of approach wasn't there early on, but I still think playing Duke Nukem today, if I forget that it's Duke Nukem, if I just consider that it's Serious Sam's forgotten brother, you know, like an Arnold Schwarzenegger video game or something supposed to be super cheesy, and maybe that's something that I've considered. Like, maybe the expectations are still a little too high, that Duke Nukem was always a cheesy type of game.
Oh, yeah.
And it was meant to be. And that when it was a cheesy game after it was super hyped, that's really what killed it, the super hype.
That's a possibility,
you know,
too.
All of that super hype kind of killed things.
Duke Nukem never was a quote-unquote good game, I would say. Like, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
It was made to be silly. It was entertaining, and it was one of those games where it's like, if you want a game with super, super, super deep story, you play Quake or you play Doom, and they had some really deep story into those games early on. You could play Marathon, and that's very story-driven.
Oh, yeah.
You could play
talked about Marathon.
Freelancer or Wing Commander if you
wanted to play. I miss Freelancer.
You could play any of the Star Wars games that were out at the time, the early X-Wing Fighter, TIE Fighter games, you know, or Jedi Academy, Outcast, or whatever. You could play any of those games, and it's awesome. You know, those are the early heyday of video games at the time. But then you wait 12 years, video games changed and grew up and did different things. They evolved.
They matured in different ways.
They got
storylines even.
And then you play Duke Nukem, and there's all of these, every line in that game, I'm pretty sure every line in that game is just super, super, super ridiculous. It could be any line taken out of context won't make any more sense than it taken in context.
Yeah, probably.
But that's just my thoughts about it.
I mean, like I said, I think it's a good argument for early access to games, and I'm not a fan of early access to games because I like to get the whole package. I don't watch a TV series until at least two seasons are out.
Something that I've noticed, especially with early access,
that's a lie. I watched House of Cards the first season. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, that's a little different. The thing that I've noticed, especially with Planetary Annihilation, the tutorial is like a YouTube video that they patched into the game. And
nice.
I don't like that.
That's funny.
Now, I get that you're connecting to their game servers, and if I would have known that before, I probably wouldn't have bought it so easily or so readily. I would have waited until like maybe the holiday sale in December or November.
Yeah.
But it's this weird thing where I think they're trying to cut corners and stay super connected and give you the most changing content. You know, as soon as it changes, they give you the newest thing. You don't have to patch. It's all in the cloud anyway. And, you know, you could just...
I see.
And that's cool.
So they don't have to actually patch the game. They just have to change the YouTube video.
Right. They just have to change... Or maybe even change the link. So the patch is like a 5 kilobyte rewrite or whatever. And it's super quick, even on dial-up. God forbid you have dial-up.
Whoa.
But anyway...
Is that a thing still?
Yeah. These people still have... Net Zero still offers it for free, I think.
Net Zero.
You have to pay for the phone line. So anyway, that was our opinion on I guess, you know, early access to games. Duke Nukem Forever.
I don't think it works most of the time. Duke Nukem Forever is a use case for it.
Now, I will say this. Duke Nukem Forever, I think I bought it for $6, which is still high, in my opinion, for that game.
I'm going to say that's high for that game.
But
I go for $2.
You know what? It's a game.
Maybe $3.
It's a game that I can load up on my Mac because it is Mac compatible, and you could play it on
Remember when Mac gaming wasn't a thing? And
Mac
now
gaming,
it is?
Yeah, Mac gaming is coming into its own, and Duke Nukem Forever maybe isn't the best game to play on your Mac.
Bad example.
System Shock 2, even though it runs through Wine, it runs through Wine very natively, sort of. Very easily.
Wine natively.
Well, so it does this thing, and you can...
I love wine, by the way. In case y'all don't know me, I love wine.
I know you remember...
Both the program and the alcoholic beverage.
And the beverage. The big thing back in the day was you would have a disc, and the installer would literally just copy the contents of a disc to a folder and then put a link on your desktop. And all of the dependencies and requirements for that game were in that. So you didn't have to download DirectX. You didn't have to download any of these DLLs or whatever, VC redisk package or whatever.
You link libraries, kid.
You would just load the game, and it would know. And now maybe you had deduplication was a thing. Like you would have tons of duplicated DLLs here and there or whatever. But
wasted space.
So System Shock 2 does that very easily. It actually has everything in like one folder. And whenever you start it up, it like Wine just looks at that folder and it's like, okay. And it just knows where everything is. You don't have to install anything separately and it works.
No craziness.
And from a gamer's point of view, it's really good when your games install with no problems and play with no problems.
Oh,
you don't
want
to have games that break. Anyway, we're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back.
Music.
And we're going to see how much time we have left in the show. Maybe drop some knowledge on you.
Drop some knowledge.
This is actually new stuff. Listen to this song because I consider myself a little OCD.
A little.
Yeah. I don't. It's not like a medical condition, OCD. It's something really bothers me. I will go out of my way to correct it so that it doesn't bother me anymore and my life's better. This is actually new stuff from Rhett and Link. It's a little edited for the radio. This is My OCD by Rhett and Link. You're hearing it on Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU. That picture frame.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MD.
I'm Red Bear.
Not for much longer, though. I'm always
Red Bear. You say that every week. Yeah, I mean, Red Bear every week.
I'm sorry. To clarify, we are not going to be on the air for much longer.
Yes, we are. We're coming back next week.
I'm sorry. To further clarify, the show is ending in a few minutes.
Not forever.
Not forever. Just a few minutes.
We'll be back next week. For telling you that. You're scaring a lot of people. Half the world.
Rest yourself, children. We'll be fine. Next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m., catch us back up again. Before I forget, that was My OCD by Rhett and Link. We are out. But before we leave, what are those websites, Bear?
The one website that we have.
Yeah, what we got?
That's exppoints.com. Double tap that P.
You can also check us out on facebook.com/experiencepoints, youtube.com/TheExpPoints channel, Twitter.com/EXP_points.
Just follow us on Twitter.
Google Plus. Yeah, you can follow us at EXP_points.
That's how Twitter works.
And that's how Twitter works. But you can also check us out on Google Plus, but I don't know what the link is.
It's Google Plus.
It's like they keep asking me, like, do you want a custom URL? I'm like, yeah, but you don't have any good ones. Because they
forced everyone to get a Google Plus that no one wanted.
Yeah, it's like, so until we think of some clever type, you know, EP this or whatever, we're not going to get one. Just go to the bottom of exppoints.com, double tap that P, scroll to the very bottom of the page, click on all the links, and look at all the stuff, like and subscribe, do all that stuff, and it'll be awesome.
It will be.
So before we get out of here, we're going to let you in on some ideas for this video game that we've been having.
We're going to talk about it
just for a little bit. I think it's going to be 2D. I think
2D is the best answer.
It's certainly easier. I don't know. I think 3D models are actually easier on us, but 2D looks so nice.
Right. So, well, 2D is much more fun, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's nice. You don't have to worry about realism.
Plus, we can look all indie.
We don't have to be too polished. They don't realize.
Manage expectations. That's where Duke Nukem Forever messed up.
We have thousands of employees working for Experience Points. It's not just two or three guys.
Don't tell them they're not getting paid.
No.
That's a mistake you made with me.
We're thinking of a couple different options. Potentially a story-driven option where, you know, there's actually plot. Maybe in the meantime we'll get together some of the assets, because assets generation is going to be the hardest thing. Making the game isn't hard. It's putting things in the game, like content.
That's what the funny thing about game engines has come so far now that actually making game isn't that difficult.
Even if we were making our own game engine, that wouldn't be hard in comparison to doing the art.
Yeah.
You know, we have the sound design.
We just need to be more artistic.
Between both of us, we could do sound design. Yeah. That's not a big deal. Lighting is managed by the engine. Gravity is managed by the engine, but the art, the pixel art.
We need an artist.
But anyway,
I digress.
We're doing a few things to kind of check things out, but for a later date. We will catch you next week from 9 to 10 p.m. Please check us out and enjoy the show online if you want. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes.
We're all over the
internet. Search for the Experience Points Radio Show, or you can go to exppoints.com, click on the Radio Show tab, and look at all of the stuff. We're downloadable. We're directly listenable.
Even
on a mobile device.
That is true.
We're super compressed. So go ahead and check that
Uncompress
out.
Uncompress me, please.
We're in podcast format.
Now I'm thinking of the genie from Aladdin.
We're going to leave you with two songs tonight. First up, we've got Helix Nebula by Anna Monoguchi, and after that,
we have the Picard song by Dark Materia.
Until next week, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points
on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Jean-Luc Picard.